to you in Yeshua's name. And we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord, for every provision and for your presence in our lives. We look to you to open your word to us and draw us close. Lord, thank you for being here with us. And we just pray that by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, you would glorify your great name here today. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, we had a long introduction before this, didn't we? And when I came in, I didn't know why it was so cold, but they told me that they were working on the heating unit. And I said, that gives me inspiration to give a short message. So I don't want to beat around the bush with a lot of things that are going to bore you, so I want to get to the main thing. I want us, this message, Genuine Love, I want us to see what Yeshua said is a sign that a person is really his disciple. You know, the Hebrew word is Talmid. Talmidim are pupils, they're learners. And we're disciples because we're learning. We're learning how to live for God and to glorify Him. And the question is, when do you stop this side of eternity being a learner? You know when? Never. We're always in the process of learning. And the thought occurred to me this morning when I thought about this message here. You know, the person who's going to give a message needs to be as much a learner as the persons who are listening. We never know everything there is to know about the Lord and what He expects of us and how He's going to change us. But we have to always be open to change. Now, when Yeshua was coming into the world, they tell us In Matthew, somebody left his machine there. Okay. Thank you. That's technology. When Yeshua was coming into the world, it tells us in Matthew 1:23, the Karau Shmo Immanuel. That's what the angel said. They shall call his name, and this is the Hebrew, Immanu, with us, El, God. With us is God. That's Isaiah 7:14. God was coming into the world in the person of Messiah. Isn't that something? That how are we to think of Yeshua? Well, this isn't the first time that is introduced. A lot of our Jewish people are offended, especially if they grew up in Orthodoxy, by the idea that they say you would worship a man. Well, this is not just any man. In Bereshit, Genesis, chapter 18, Adonai, the Lord God of Israel, appears with two other men. He's a man here in Bereshit in Genesis chapter 18. He appears as a man with two other men who happen to be angels to our forefathers, to our forefather Abraham, Avraham. At that point, his name is Avram. God hasn't changed it yet, Abram. And he introduces himself, and Abram fixes a meal for him. And God is going to reveal two major things to him. The first is that this time next year, he is going to have the son that God promised. He's waited all this time, and he's going to get that son to carry on the name, the family name. He's the son anointed by God, and it's amazing how old Abraham is when that son comes. He's 100 years old when he comes. That's almost unheard of, isn't it? But the other thing is, God is going to destroy two wicked cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's all sorts of wickedness there. And they start dealing, he starts dealing with God, and he gets him down to, if you can find 10 righteous people in that city, will you spare them being destroyed? Now listen, some of the things that they're dealing with in that day are the very things we're dealing with in the world today. And if God looked over that, those two cities in the way he did, Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to destroy them. You better believe that with what's going on in the world today, God is not pleased with a lot of this stuff that's going on. And this isn't about love. It's about sin, which brings on the opposite of love, hate and destruction. And so God agrees that if there are 10 righteous in Sodom, he won't destroy it. And he and these two angels go to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they find it just as wicked as it could be. And this man who is God, now this is in Tanakh, this is in what the Jews accept as the scriptures. Christians call it the Old Testament. Jews don't call it the Old Testament because they say it sounds like it's disappearing, it's antiquated. And the Tanakh is not antiquated, but it says this person, God. Now listen, God didn't stop being up there controlling the universe when he was down here as a man waiting to destroy this evil city. It says, and the Lord, meaning this one who comes as a man in a body, who had a meal with Abraham, the Lord rained fire and brimstone, or it could be burning sulfur. It was an atomic blast, as it were, from the Lord out of heaven. So there in Scripture, God appears as a man to Avram. Later, God appears to Avram's grandson, Jacob. And Jacob is running from his brother at the time. His brother's really angry at him. And he meets this man in the evening, and he starts a wrestling match. And he says to this man, he pins him down and he says, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And That's really something, because it turns out that the man is God. And he's wrestling, and it calls him Ish all the way through. Ish is the Hebrew word for man. And that's all it refers to him as, Ish, a man. And Yaakov, Jacob, says, I won't let you go unless you bless me. And he not only blesses him, he changes his name. Now, I bet if you ask most Jewish people and a lot of people who call themselves Christians don't read the scriptures, so they don't know how the name Israel came along. He changes his name to Yisrael, which is Hebrew for Israel. Jacob is called Yisrael, Israel. Guess what it means?
To wrestle with God.
To wrestle with God. And God touches his thigh, and after that he limps. So, if you wrestle with God, guess who wins? So the best way is to yield to God, not to say, let's have a wrestling match. But that's the way the name Yisrael came. And you know, a lot of our people and a lot of Gentiles are still wrestling. They don't want to accept God's way. God has blessing for us. God's going to lead us in a righteous way, and we want our own way. That's part of the fall of man. And so we see that God introduced himself as a man to his people prior to the New Testament, didn't he? And here in the New Testament, we see the Messiah coming. And I want to introduce you to this important part of the Tanakh that tells about the Israel's call to faith. Because in the Messiah, God is going to call us to true faith and a true intimate relationship with God. When God calls Israel to faith, Israel gets the scriptures that God chose Moses to give, the Torah. And Israel's call to faith is in the Torah, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And here it is. It's called the Shema. Shema is like a command. It's called a tzvui. Listen to this. This is important. Shema means not, hey, listen. It means listen. This is vital. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God, the Lord is Echad, one. See, the surrounding nations had gods. They went off kilter. And a lot of people today in the world have gods. Sometimes they're just statues or figures of animals. They're worshiping gods. But you know, you can worship other gods and they aren't idols. They aren't statues. You know what they can be? They can be a Mercedes-Benz or a Porsche. They can be your job. Are getting up in the world other than loving God and worshiping. Do you know, if we really loved God the way He calls us to, and the world learned what it was to love God, we wouldn't be walking around in such fear that we have, that lunatic over in North Korea is going to throw a guided missile with an atomic warhead over here. We would love people, and we would desire to show them good and to reach out to them. So it's interesting that God gives them the commandment after He gives them this Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is," to love this Lord, this God who gave us life, with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our might. And so the second it says is like this. These are the two great commandments. It's Deuteronomy or Leviticus 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't necessarily mean just your neighbor next door. It's the people around you. That we're to love those around us with such a passion for good, not the world's idea of passionate, which is immorality and sexual looseness, but reaching out to the people around us in need, that we would extend ourselves to them in a servant's manner. So those were the two great commandments, and the masters of the law in Israel put that to Yeshua. Which are the two great commandments? And He gave them those commandments. What is the source of this love that God is talking about? Well, do you know, when Yeshua presented to us why He was here, He presented this. It's the most quoted verse of the New Testament, and He presented it to a rabbi who was on the Sanhedrin. He was a Supreme Court justice. And where other people were turning their backs, like religious leaders, on Yeshua, this rabbi came and at night, because it was the end of the day in court, and he was probably tired, but this was so important, he was there. And he said to Yeshua, "We know, I and other rabbis with me." See, it wasn't that all Pharisees or rabbis turned away from Yeshua. He says, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." What a statement. You aren't just another rabbi. You're a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that you do except God is with him. What a statement. Instead of Yeshua saying, "Tell me more," He turns to this man, to his need, and He says, "Truthfully, I say to you, you must be born again from above. You must be born of God." And he was an old man. He says, "How can you How can you be born when you're old? Can you enter a second time into your mother's womb? And Yeshua lets him know that he had to be born of water and the Ruach, the Spirit. He needed in him the love that comes from above. And you know, later on, Rabbi Shaul, who became the Apostle Paul, he writes what this will result in. He says, here's the fruit of the Spirit. When you come to Yeshua and you repent of your rejection of God and you receive the Ruach, you're immersed, you go under, you bury the old nature, you come up, you receive the Spirit. Here's the result. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, it's a singular verse, so I always say it's trying to say it's love and it's manifested in this way. Joy, peace, patience. God's going to grant you this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Messiah Yeshua have crucified, have put to death the sinful nature. By the way, we seem to be born with that. The sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Ruach, by the Spirit who has come into us when we're immersed in Yeshua's name and receive this Spirit, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. The amazing thing about Yeshua is that he comes to give his life as a sacrifice for sin. In 70 AD, God allowed the Romans to come into Jerusalem and destroy it and destroy the means of sacrifice, which was the temple with its altar, and sacrifice ceased. Israel hasn't had sacrifice since then. But guess what? Before that happened, Yeshua went to that Roman place of torture, the cross, most terrible means of torture that's ever been devised by humankind. And he stated that he was dying for our sins. And prior to going to that cross, starting in the 13th chapter of John, the Gospel of John, he gives what's called the Upper Room Discourse, his last teaching before he goes to the cross. And you know what he does before he gives this teaching? He goes to the disciples, has them take off their shoes, and he washes each disciple's foot or feet. Each one gets a foot washing by Yeshua. And you know who did those things in that day? People wore sandals. So when they would come to a house, a slave would get down and wash their feet. And Yeshua takes the part of a slave. And he says, after he washes their feet, I've given you an example that you should wash each other's feet. He says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you.
So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples if you love one another with Yeshua love. Amen. Greater love that has no man than this, he said, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So he laid down his life for us. But before that, he gives us the example. If any man is going to be great in the kingdom of God, it's not like the world. Listen, you're going to shine if you have the best credentials from college and you know how to do all these fantastic things and people are going to admire. He doesn't say that. He says that we would become the least of all and the servant of all. We would be willing to serve the people around. We aren't looking out for glory. We're looking out only for God's glory. And we'll do it by becoming a servant. That's humbling, isn't it? Yeshua came, the master of the universe. He said to the Jews at Hanukkah, they wanted to know, are you really the Messiah? He told them, I and the Father, God, are Echad. And Philip, later, prior to his going to the cross, says, show us the Father, he says to Yeshua, and that will be enough for us. He says, Philip, have I been so long a time with you? And you don't know who I am? He who has seen me has seen the Father, has seen God. I and the Father, he said at Hanukkah, are Echad. I call that the second Shema. The first Shema was to Israel through Moses' writing in Torah. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is Echad, one. The second Shema, Yeshua gave to Israel, I and the Father Echad. One. God has never been more than Echad. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. That's why people say, well, where? He's everywhere. Where? Yes. And he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything about us. So we have this great God. And I want you to remember the hallmark of discipleship. You aren't recognized as a disciple because you can quote umpteen chapters by heart and you can show people how smart you are. Yeshua says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. He laid down his life for us. And the early believers were made to realize they were to love with Yeshua love. And a lot of them did lay down their lives. And this Yeshua love, as he loved us, we're to love, is a divine imperative. It's mandatory. You know what he said? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And you know what? That doesn't mean he offended me, I'm leaving that congregation. How many times have you heard that? People say they're following the Lord. He hurt my feelings, I'm leaving. That's like the husband saying to the family, your mother hurt my feelings, we're divorcing. That's why there are all these different groups, you know, who call themselves believers. But we're supposed to have this, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another with Yeshua love. And it doesn't mean that you're so thin-skinned, you're hurt by this remark or that remark. It means I want to live for the Lord. I want to show you Yeshua's love. So if you have a need, I'm your servant. Isn't that a hard thing to say? In the world, it's about getting ahead. In the kingdom of God, it's about serving. So I would say that which is eternal has to do with the kingdom of God. And here's what it says the believers were like when they first came to believe, when the New Covenant congregation was born after Yeshua rises from the dead and goes to be with the Father. Acts 4:32 through 36. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of Yeshua, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Isn't that talk about a giving people, a serving people, a God-loving people? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world were that way? Well, it has to begin with us. And Yeshua is coming again, and he's going to set up his kingdom, and the world will be that way. Read Revelation 21 about the New Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven from God. It's going to be God's people living a godly life, and that's ahead of us if we're looking for Jesus, for Yeshua and the return and the New Jerusalem. So it begins with us bearing the old life, receiving the Spirit, and being raised to new life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. And we ask that each person here would search his or her heart and come to you for this new birth, this born-again experience. Lord God, reveal yourself to each one. Strengthen us and help us to live a life that glorifies you. In Yeshua's name, amen.